most of us are going to live on this earth about 80, 90 years. You know, compared to eternity, that's not a lot of time. 80 years is minuscule compared to the trillions and trillions and trillions of years you're going to spend on the other side of death. You see, you were made to last forever. And the Bible tells us that this life is preparation for the next. And what God wants you to do on this earth is to practice now what you're going to do forever in eternity. Now, what I've just told you is part of what's called God's worldview. God's worldview for you is found in the Bible. It's not found in politics. It's not found on the television. It's not found in magazines. It's found in the Word of God. And that's why every day here on Daily Hope, we're looking at God's Word to discover God's worldview for you. When you have a clear worldview, you're going to have the life God intended for you to live. That frame of reference, your worldview, is built on beliefs. Your beliefs can be built on the truth or they can be built on lies. When you build your life on the Word of God, you're always building on truth. I'm Rick, and I hope you'll join me today on Daily Hope as we look into the Bible to understand God's view of you. God's worldview will make a world of difference in your life.
Today on Daily Hope with Rick Warren, we continue in a series called Reframing Your Worldview with part two of a message called How Did the World Get So Messed Up? Taken from various portions of Scripture. And now, here's Rick.
There is physical decay and death in the world because we live in a fallen planet. Physical decay and death. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 4:16. Our physical body is becoming older and weaker. One look at you and I can prove that. Okay? You don't have your youthful beauty. And our bodies are getting weaker and they're getting older. There are no perfect bodies. You can airbrush them into perfection. But there are no perfect bodies. A lot of us have furniture problem. You know, our chest drops into our drawers. And things, not everything works right in your body. Have you figured that out? Why? Because we're in a fallen planet. Not everything works right. If we're in a perfect planet, there would be no need for doctors. But we live in a fallen world. You know, I kind of hesitate telling you this, but there's this guy who, he went over here to the Claim Jumper about a year ago, and he's a single guy, and he's sitting in a booth, and a woman comes in who's a single woman, and she sits in the booth right next to him. And she starts having a sneezing attack. And as she's sneezing, I kind of hate to tell you this, she's sneezing real hard, and her glass eye popped out. And the guy reaches over and he catches it before it hits the ground. That's a way to start a conversation. So he goes over, and in that embarrassing moment, they start talking to each other and they actually laugh about it, and they actually end up going out on a date. A year later, they're married. They're married. And at the wedding, the pastor asked the woman, said, "Well, what was it about this guy that really attracted you?" And she said, "Well, you know, he just kind of caught my eye." Look at this verse up here on the screen. Our earthly bodies, which die and decay, are different from the bodies we're going to have in heaven. Thank God. For they will never die. The bodies we have now embarrass us. Anybody want to say amen on that? Okay, the bodies we have now embarrass us. For they become sick and die. But they will be full of glory when we come back to life again in heaven. So the second problem is not only is the earth damaged, but we're damaged physically by sin, by defects, and that's why we have all these medical bills. We live on a fallen planet. In physics, they call this the law of entropy. And the law of entropy is that everything in the universe is continuously, irreversibly decaying. That's the law of entropy. That all matter is degrading, and that all energy is dispersing. Scientists have known this for years. It's dispersing into disorder. In other words, this world is winding down. It's decaying. Which, by the way, totally contradicts the second law of thermodynamics and the law of entropy. Totally discredits the theory of evolution, which says things are getting better, things are getting more complex, and they're getting improved. Well, it denies the second law of thermodynamics. Now, not only do we have decay, but we have death in the world. And the Bible says this: everyone dies because all of us are related to Adam, the first man. Now, one of the reasons why we die is God doesn't want us hanging around on an imperfect planet. To live on a fallen planet for eternity, that would be hell. And God says, I didn't make you to live in a place of imperfection forever. I made you to live in a place of perfection forever. So I want you to know me, choose to be in my family so you can live in that place forever. So one day God's going to shut down this earth because he has prepared a place that's perfect in eternity. The Bible says this: all creation anticipates the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. It says even the world is looking forward. The earth is looking, nature is looking forward to that day. So we got natural disasters and we got physical decay and death. Number three, we have emotional distress and disappointment. Why do you get stressed out? Why do you get disappointed? Because you live on a fallen planet. You live in an imperfect world because evil exists and sin exists. And stress is the result of living in a damaged, sinful world. And I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but most things don't live up to their hype. Most things are overrated. And they're told like they're the next thing since sliced bread and that, you know, they're not all they're cracked up to be. And you go to an event and you go out and you go, is that all there is? Do you remember that song? It was Peggy Lee or Brenda Lee. Anybody remember that song? Is that all there is? Those are all the old folks in the church. Okay. But, you know, why? Because it doesn't last. You know, as a pastor, of course, I've worked with a lot of young couples who spend a year working on their wedding. And it's like, where are we going to put the candies? And what kind of bag are the candies going to be in? And what color are the candies? And they spend an entire year, and then it's over in a couple hours. I've always thought if they spent that much time in preparing for the marriage instead of preparing for the wedding, we'd have stronger marriages and fewer divorces. I know people say, well, we don't have time for premarital counseling because we're too busy planning the wedding. I'll tell you, the wedding isn't going to last. The marriage is what you want to last. If you spend as much time on pre-marriage counseling, and we got plenty of it here at Saddleback, you'd do far more for your relationship than what color are the candies? So in a fallen world, we get disappointed by events. They're just not all they're cracked up to be. We imagine. How many of you, be honest, how many of you were ever disappointed by a prom? Yeah. Yeah. Most of the men raised their hands. I just saw that. Yeah. Okay. How many of you have ever gone to a big movie and then you walked out going, what a waste? Yeah. Anybody remember Jar Jar Binks? People stood in line overnight to go to that episode of Star Wars. And we walked out of going, waited all night for that. You know, it was just such a letdown. Have any of you ever been distressed or disappointed by a vacation? You know, I think Job was. I found this verse in the Bible here. It says here in Job 6:20, they are distressed because they had been confident. Then they arrive, only be disappointed. I think he's talking about Vegas. Okay.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's message called How Did the World Get So Messed Up? From the series Reframing Your Worldview. We'll continue with more in just a moment. But first, be sure to check out rickwarren.org. There you can sign up for Pastor Rick's free Daily Hope devotional. You know, thousands of folks just like you benefit from Rick's personal and practical emails each day. So sign up and be encouraged. And while you're at rickwarren.org, listen to his latest message, connect with him on Facebook and Twitter, or shop our online store. It's packed with resources to help your walk with God. Find us online today at rickwarren.org. There's more Daily Hope in just a moment with Pastor Rick Warren.
The book entitled The Good Life by Pastor Rick's friend and mentor, the late Chuck Colson, asks the hard existential questions like, is there absolute truth? Where do we come from? What does it mean to live a good life? And more. In this revised version, Rick teamed up with Chuck and laid out 6 truth-filled, easy-to-follow lessons that will sharpen your Christian worldview, motivating you to live out your ministry of service and your mission to an unbelieving world. The Good Life by Chuck Colson is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Daily Hope radio broadcast. Request your copy when you call 800-600-5004 or visit rickwarren.org.
And once again, here's Pastor Rick.
Part of maturity and part of growing up is learning, and you have to teach this to your kids, how to deal with disappointment and learning how to deal with failure, because you don't succeed in everything you do. And if kids don't learn how to fail, they are going to be warped in life. They have to learn how to fail good, because nobody succeeds at everything. And it's a myth that you're going to succeed at everything. And you're going to have to learn disappointment and how to deal with it. Not just with your circumstances, but you're going to have to learn how to deal with disappointment in yourself. Because you let yourself down a lot. And you finally come to the point, you know what? All of my dreams probably aren't going to be realized. And I'm not really as good as I think I am. And you start getting disappointed with yourself. And a lot of guys go through midlife crisis on that. Paul says in Romans 7:18, I realized I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. And so we have to stop living in denial. And that's why I love the Bible, because the Bible says, have a sane estimate of yourself and your gifts. Know what you're good at. You're shaped to do certain things well, and other things you're not shaped to do well. Here's a big one. Number 4th result of living in a fallen world, relational distance and discord. Relational distance and discord. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned, it not only disconnected them from God and alienated them from God when they sinned, it alienated them from each other and disconnected them from each other. And all of us have had to deal with that ever since. All of the marriage problems in life, all of the family crises in life, all come down to one word, sin. Every single marriage conflict is based on sin. I want what I want, and you want what you want, and when we bat it together, sparks fly. And so really the bottom line is this, you either grow up or you grow apart. Those are your options. In your marriage, you're either going to grow up and learn to be unselfish and think of the other person, or you're going to grow apart. And people say, well, we're just incompatible. Incompatible is a synonym for immaturity. You can grow up or you can grow away from each other. It's your choice. If you want to be selfish, yes, you're going to have conflicts the rest of your life. But if you both learn to grow and to give, you're going to grow up rather than grow apart. Now, Adam and Eve had this great intimacy together. It was an innocent intimacy. It says they were naked and unashamed. And that doesn't just talk about physical and sex. It's talking about emotionally, they were naked and unashamed. There was no intimacy barrier. They had no bad memories from their exes. They had no bad memories from high school. They had no bad lessons they had learned from their parents. Think about this. Everything was perfect for Adam and Eve. They understood each other. They had the only perfect relationship that ever existed between a man and a woman. Because they had no bad history. They had no sin. They had no hang-ups. They had perfect bodies made by God. The only thing they didn't have was a belly button. You ever thought about that? Go home and think about that one, okay? That's deep. That's deep. They didn't need a belly button because God created them. Think that one through and you'll get it in about 5 minutes. So they had perfect bodies, no belly buttons, but perfect bodies. And everything was great. I mean, they're in paradise. And Adam looks at his wife and he says, Eve, you're the only one in the world for me. You know, and he meant it. I mean, he really meant it. He wasn't just aligned it for a pickup. I mean, he really meant it. And so here they are. Perfect bodies, in paradise, no in-laws, no children to bug them and, you know, bother them, no clothes. Whoa, that's paradise. And but when they sinned, it ruined the whole thing. It messed up the relationship. And that intimate intimacy of understanding each other became fear and hiding and distrust and shame. The Bible says this in Genesis 3:7. They suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. This is after they sinned. So they strung fig leaves together to cover themselves. And men and women have been covering up ever since. And I'm not talking about clothes. I'm talking about emotionally covering up. We hide from each other. We don't want anybody to let us get close to us. We don't want them to know us. And we cover up. I know people who cover up by humor. And they constantly make jokes. And whenever you start talking about something serious that might really scare them a little bit, they start making a joke about it. And their whole reaction to life is keep people at a distance by being the joker. What's your fig leaf? What do you use to keep people from getting close to you? Is it you wear a mask? Or you play a role? Or you pretend that you're somebody you're not? Or you hide in secret? Adam did the very two things after he sinned that every man and every woman has done since. He hid and he blamed. When Adam sinned, he goes and he hides like he could hide from God. And God comes along and says, Adam, where you been? Like God didn't know. He just wanted Adam to admit what he was saying. And Adam said, I was afraid and I hid. And that's what sin always does in a relationship. When you have sin in a relationship, you are afraid of revealing your true self. And so you hide, even from your husband or from your wife or your boyfriend or your girlfriend. And you hide and you don't let them know your deepest fears. I was afraid, so I hid. Every relationship in the world has been damaged by sin, every one of them, and by evil that's in the world. The other thing Adam did is he blamed. And he said to God, you know, the reason I'm in this trouble is that that woman you gave me caused me to be tempted, da, 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 da. And ever since, we have been hiding our own weaknesses and blaming other people for the problems in our lives. And it caused relational discord and distance. And Adam said, I'm just blaming my wife. So we get defensive. Sin makes us defensive. Sin makes us demanding in our relationships, and sin makes us distant in our relationships. So we live on a planet that has natural disasters and deformities. We live in a planet that has physical death and decay. We live in a planet where we have emotional distress and disappointment. And then we have relational distance and discord. Now here's a fifth result. Spiritual discontent and darkness. Spiritual discontent and darkness. You see, sin leaves a hole in your heart that nothing can fill. Pascal called it the God-shaped hole. There's a God-shaped vacuum in your life that nothing else can fill. And to be satisfied, we try to fill it with other things. We fill it with sex. We fill it with popularity. We fill it with hobbies. We fill it with sports. We try to fill that hole in our heart with so many different things. Work. But it's like putting a square peg in a round hole. It doesn't fit. You were made for God.
That's Rick Warren with Daily Hope. In just a moment, Rick will share a closing thought. But right now, be sure to log on to the Daily Hope website. It's rickwarren.org. There you can get today's entire message, the entire message series, get message notes, social media links, and sign up for Rick's Daily Hope devotional. So log on now at rickwarren.org. Also, we want to let you know about a special gift we have to say thanks for your donation of support to this Daily Hope broadcast. It's a powerful book by the late Chuck Colson called The Good Life. As Pastor Rick shares in the foreword of this very helpful book, Chuck was relentless in his pursuit of truth in every area of life, and Chuck brings this passion to bear in The Good Life as he helps you answer hard existential questions like, is there truth? Is it knowable? What difference does it make? And what does it mean to live a good life? Chuck Colson asks and answers these questions in a way that can literally change your life and the lives of those around you. The Good Life is our gift to thank you for your donation of support to this Daily Hope broadcast. So please request your copy when you call us today, 1-800-600-5004. And if you could, please consider giving just a little more today to help support the program in your area. We are 100% supported by listeners just like you, so we really appreciate your gifts, prayers, calls, emails, your testimonies, and more. And we would love the chance to pray for you too, so please give us a call today, 1-800-600-5004. And now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Yesterday, I brought up the question, why doesn't God just shut the earth down right now because of all of the brokenness in it? And I gave you one of the answers, that God is giving us time to make the right choices. But there's a second reason why God hasn't shut the earth down in spite of all of its sinfulness. And it's this: God wants to demonstrate His grace. In the Bible, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says this: the Lord isn't slow about His promise to return, as some people think. No, He's being patient for your sake. He doesn't want anyone to perish, so He's giving more time for everyone to repent. The reason why God puts up with all of the grief and the garbage that we see on this planet right now is because He's being patient. He's being gracious. He's waiting for more people to step across the line and start a relationship with Him and enter into His family. When somebody comes up to you and says, you know, I just can't believe in a God who'd stand by and watch people suffer, here's what you need to say: I don't believe in that kind of God either. I don't believe in a God who just stands by and watches people suffer. God isn't that kind of God. In fact, you have no idea how much God hurts when He sees all the sin, all the suffering, all the sorrow, and all the sadness on earth. It hurts Him more than it hurts everybody else, because He created it perfect. He knows what it could be. He knows its potential. He knows what it was like before sin enters the world. We don't. And it grieves God to see the guilt and the grudges and the grief that cover the earth. It grieves God to see what we do to each other as human beings, how we act so inhuman to each other. You see, God is not some God who just stands by and watches uncaringly. We serve a suffering God. Jesus suffers with us. He understands our sorrows, our trials, tribulations, and troubles. He's been here. He lived a life of suffering. The Bible says He was well acquainted with sorrow. So when you come to God, you serve a God, and you talk to a God, and you love a God who knows pain. God experiences pain too. The only reason you have emotions is because God is an emotional God, and you were made in His image. So when you look at your life, and you look at all of the problems that are happening in your life, and you look at all the sorrow, what do you do about it? You come to God and say, God, I know You understand, and I'm giving it all to You right now. I give You the grief. I give You the guilt. I give You the grudges. I give You every part of my life, the garbage in my life, and I want You to take it and make something new out of it. That's called beginning a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It's why Jesus came to earth. To help you understand that better, you can go to my website, rickwarren.org, and click on the tab, Know God. You'll find a video and a guide there that explains what it means to experience Christ in your life on a daily basis. And when you pray that prayer and you accept Jesus Christ in your life, you step across the line spiritually, would you let me know about it? Write me, Rick at rickwarren.org, and tell me about your decision. You know, the Bible says in heaven that the angels celebrate every time one person steps across the line spiritually. And if you pray that prayer today and invite Christ into your life, there's going to be a celebration and a party in heaven for you. I'm Rick. And I hope you'll join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and listeners like you.